Hi everyone, and welcome along to the Ergonomically Speaking podcast, the podcast that aims to help you reduce and even eliminate work-related discomfort. I'm your host, Niamh Pentney of Boyne Ergonomics. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really hope that you're able to take away some useful practical advice from this podcast to help you reduce your own risk of discomfort at the workplace or help manage the risks among the people that you might be responsible for. So now that we know why we're here, let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome along to another episode of the Ergonomically Speaking podcast, where today I'm going to do a little refresh of episode 11, which is where we had a look at the risks to pregnant employees around computer use. So workplace risks for the pregnant employee. And that's what we're going to have a look at today. Pregnancy itself, from a health safety perspective, definitely presents a unique challenge in that it's difficult to predict because every pregnancy is different, the physical effects of each pregnancy is different, and the impact on a person's ability to safely do their job is different. That being said, there are things we can do to make sure that the person who is either pregnant, returning from work, or breastfeeding is as safe and as comfortable in work as they can be. In Ireland, the regulations that we are concerned about when a person comes to us and announces that they are currently pregnant are the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work Act 2005, the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work General Application Regulations 2007, Part 6, Chapter 2, which is the protection of the pregnant, postnatal and breastfeeding employee, the Maternity Protection Act 94, and then the Amendment Act in 2004. And what these pieces of legislation do essentially is cover a person's entitlement to maternity leave, entitlement around medical appointments and clinic visits, job security, health and safety leave, health and safety benefits, and provisions to encourage breastfeeding. Really, what I'm concerned about when I'm brought in to meet with and assess a pregnant employee is the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work, the regulations 2007, because these kick in the second an employee comes to you and notifies you that they're pregnant. And these regulations outline your duties as an employer to reduce the risks that might be present in the workplace that could have a negative impact on pregnant, postnatal employee, the breastfeeding employee, and or the developing child. The pregnancy risk assessment should be carried out as soon as possible after you have been notified that the person is pregnant. Equally, if you have come to your employer and notified them that you are pregnant, you should then very quickly, soon after, undergo a pregnancy risk assessment. And if you haven't, follow this up with your manager. The reason we need to do this as early as possible is to identify potential risks and put in place strategies to eliminate these risks. And we're going to talk about the risks now in a few minutes. But the reason, from my point of view, and I'm going to be focusing very specifically on office-based computer workers, simply because I find, in my own experience, when I am brought in to do a pregnancy risk assessment with somebody who has a computer-based job, it's usually in the second half of the second trimester, if not in the third trimester. It's usually only because they're reporting some discomfort. Because I find that computer-based jobs are generally considered quite low risk in terms of harm to the employee and harm to the developing baby, which is understandable in one sense, but there are risk presents and they're very easily mitigated, very, very easily if we can identify them early on. I find in other jobs where there are, for example, chemicals or there is a high level of manual handling or other kind of more obvious risks, generally speaking, a lot of pregnant employees will be pulled off those duties once they go to their manager and tell them that they're pregnant. It's not even that they try and mitigate the risks. They just pull them off those duties and put them on alternative duties, which is obviously the right thing to do. But I definitely find with the computer-based work, it's just considered so low risk that really I find a lot of places just don't do the risk assessment unless there is an issue. So, the pregnancy risk assessment should be done very, very early, once you're notified, and we want to put strategies in place to minimize or mitigate the risks altogether. And if we can't remove the risk or we can't reduce the risk based on the job, then the employee's working hours or conditions should be adjusted. They should be offered alternative roles, like I mentioned, or they should be granted health and safety leave. So in this episode, we're going to have a look at the workplace risks to the pregnant, postnatal and breastfeeding employee, why these risks may pose such a problem in pregnancy, and any advice then for the office-based worker, or if somebody comes to you and they work in an office, what should you be thinking to do? So if we have a look first at the workplace risks, the risks that have been identified as having the potential to cause harm to the pregnant employee, the developing child, the postnatal or the breastfeeding employee are postures or movements that are abrupt, severe or give rise to fatigue. And under that, I would include repetitive movements. I would also include contact stress. We'll look at them later on. Physical shocks to the body, including direct blows to the abdomen. Whole body vibration, manual handling, excessive heat or cold, ionizing and non-ionizing radiation, biological agents, chemical agents, stress, lead and lead substances, pressure chambers, confined space, underground mine work, and toxoplasma. Now, when I list those risks, obviously they are risks to everyone. Like, everybody is at risk from workplace injury because of manual handling. Everybody could be at risk to biological agents, chemical agents, vibrations, adverse postures. The difference is the impact of those risks can be greater on the pregnant, postnatal or the breastfeeding employee, and they can also negatively impact the developing fetus. So what is it about pregnancy that can impact the ability to safely complete a work task? So as I said, every pregnancy is different. And the impact of a pregnancy on someone's ability to safely do their job without undue comfort and stress, can't predict it in advance. And I'll just give myself as an example. So I have had two pregnancies while based in a workplace. Both had very different effects on me and on my body. And the issues that I experienced, kind of workplace issues that I experienced, were different for both. One, the first one, was very physical. So I had a lot of pelvic pain, I had a lot of hip pain, and I had a lot of just general physical discomfort. The second one was more cognitive. Now, that obviously could be tied to having a toddler and a pregnancy at the same time, but I definitely found I didn't have pelvic pain, I didn't have hip pain. I was very fatigued, and simple tasks that would have taken me, you know, 5 minutes beforehand suddenly were taking me 10 and 15 minutes, simple cognitive tasks. So I definitely found one had a more of a physical impact, one had more of a cognitive impact. Now, the one thing both had in common was low back pain caused by prolonged sitting or prolonged standing. That was common to both. But I suppose the effects or the biological changes associated with pregnancy that can impact productivity and safety and comfort and increase the risks mentioned above are morning sickness and nausea, and an inability to eat, back discomfort, hip and pelvic discomfort, increasing size and like the changing center of gravity, increased frequency of urination, varicose veins, fatigue, impaired balance because of that shifting center of gravity, and impaired dexterity, agility, coordination, movement and reach. All of these things can play in. That might mean that if we take an adverse posture, for example, a posture or a position that, yes, may have been outside of kind of the acceptable low strain area, may not have given you a bother beforehand, but all of a sudden you're 26, 27 weeks pregnant and that same position is causing you discomfort. So it's not that people are doing anything different in their jobs than they were before they were pregnant. It's just that the kind of biological impact of being pregnant means that the risk factors that were there already are now having a greater impact. So when we look, I'm going to focus on DSE use, so computer use, like I mentioned before, because I do find that this area is considered so low risk that they can be overlooked from a pregnancy risk assessment perspective. There is no direct risk to the pregnant, the postnatal, the breastfeeding employee, or their developing child related to the DSE equipment itself. The risk comes from the poor postures, the static postures, the incorrect use of equipment, repetitive movements, contact stress. So anyone who uses a computer more than 1 hour continuously is exposed to risk factors that can cause musculoskeletal injury. So this is everybody across the board. And these are your adverse postures, static postures, repetitive postures, contact stress. But the impact increases when you're pregnant. Pregnant computer users are at an increased risk of, like you mentioned, hip discomfort, low back discomfort, carpal tunnel syndrome, swelling around the calves, the ankles, the feet, the wrists, eye strain, headaches, and migraines. And the increased risk of these is associated with hormone levels in the body, increase in fluid retention, changes in the curve of the spine, shifts in your center of gravity. As I said, you're not doing anything different in terms of work tasks than you did before you were pregnant. It's just the physiological changes are now causing them to have an impact. So as an employer and as a pregnant computer user, what can you do to try and stay safe, stay well, stay healthy in the workplace? And the key point, number one, is actually identify the risks. So from the employee perspective, the first thing you need to do to protect yourself is to notify your employer as soon as you are comfortable doing so. The earlier, the better, because these things all take time. So it'll take time to get the risk assessment into place. It'll take time to mitigate the risks and make any changes. So the sooner we do it, the better. However, I know in Ireland, it's common practice here that unless your job does involve like a high level of exposure to chemicals and manual handling, for an office-based job, it is usual that people would wait until around the 12-week mark before they notify their employer. From an employer perspective, as soon as you're notified, you need to arrange a risk assessment of their role and their tasks. It doesn't matter if the task and the job has been risk assessed from a general point of view, a specific risk assessment for this person needs to be done. This allows for early identification of any risks, and it gives you time to implement any measures that are recommended to try and mitigate those risks. So once we do that, the next thing you need to look at is, as the pregnant computer user, you need to take regular breaks from the workstation. Static postures during pregnancy are going to increase the risk of developing lower back and hip pain, eye strain, and swelling in the lower limbs and the wrists. When you're seated at the desk, there's roughly about 29 different muscle groups that are working just to keep you upright in the chair. That's all they're doing. As they contract and work, they produce lactic acid as a byproduct. When you stay seated for prolonged periods, this lactic acid can cause inflammation to the muscles and the tissues, causing fatigue, stiffness, and discomfort. Now, fatiguing these muscles is also going to mean that you will adopt poor postures. You might slump, you might slouch, you might lean, because the muscles are getting tired holding you upright. Now, this happens to everyone. But if you think about it, especially as you move through the second and into the third trimester, your body's already working extra hard because obviously you're growing a fetus. Your center of gravity has changed. Your weight distribution has changed. So there'll be extra loads on different muscles that maybe didn't have it before. So it's going to exacerbate the fatigue and the strain on the muscles as you sit. Prolonged sitting is also going to slow your circulation. Again, this happens to everyone. But if you think about it from a pregnancy point of view, you have additional fluid flowing around the body, obviously, to protect the baby. But if you're going to be static for prolonged periods, this can cause the fluid to build up in the lower limbs and the wrists because it's going to your peripheral areas. You know, gravity is going to make that happen. And this can cause swelling and tingling and pins and needles and discomfort. And it's one of the reasons why pregnant users are at a higher risk of developing carpal tunnel syndrome. You're not using the mouse any differently. You're not using the keyboard any differently. But you may have a buildup of fluid around those areas that's compressing the nerves, as well as repetitive risk. So, and this fluid retention can also affect the vision, because if the fluid starts to build up in and around the cornea, it can kind of result in blurred vision. You need to keep yourself mobile. So moving from the workstation, even if it's just for a minute, will give the circulatory system a boost. Your muscles will help pump that fluid around. Your blood's going to flow around. It'll bring fresh oxygen and nutrients to your muscles. It will take away those waste products. It's basically replenish the system and keep everything flowing around the body. Usually in first and second trimester, the recommendation is to move every 45 minutes. I would go more if you can. In the third trimester though, physically a very tough trimester, you need to be moving from the desk at least once every 30 minutes, more if you can. Your job involves a lot of video calls. If you're working from home, I would get yourself a wireless headset. Sit-down workstation can be great if you really are stuck at the desk for prolonged periods, but it's not the be-all and end-all. You still need to walk and move. And also drink plenty of water. Like, you absolutely have to stay hydrated in pregnancy. That's very, very important. As the pregnancy progresses, you're going to have to maybe go to the bathroom a little bit more often. And this may seem really silly, but every bit of mobility counts. So if it's going to get a glass of water, if it's going to the bathroom, if it's going to just take a lap around the office, the purpose of the movement is irrelevant. It's the movement itself that's important. So definitely drink plenty of water is one tip, because you're going to have to get up and get the water, and two, you're going to have to get up and go to the bathroom. So it'll keep you mobile. The second thing you can do, and I just want to say, sorry, actually, before I move on, as an employer, it's incredibly important that you facilitate this movement. So allow somebody to take these breaks. Allow them to turn off their camera during calls so they can get up and move around a little bit. You should be facilitating and encouraging these breaks. Use computer appropriate chairs. So we all know at this point what a computer, a DSC appropriate chair is. It's your 5-spoke base. It's on wheels. You have a height adjustable swivel seat. Your backrest should be adjustable in tilt. You should also be able to adjust the height of the lumbar support to make sure that it's sitting in the curve of the lower back. Armrests can be helpful, especially as kind of bump grows and I become less comfortable to sit close to the desk. You can use the armrest then for a little bit of elbow support, give you a little bit of support that you might not be able to get from the desk. That being said, I do find, depending on the curve of your lower back, which will deepen when you're pregnant, but depending on that, even the really, really good, you know, 5-star ergonomic chairs may not be supportive enough for your lower back. And if that is the case, yes, you can add a foam back support to the chair. Or if you're finding the seat uncomfortable, yes, absolutely add a wedge cushion to the chair. Or if your coccyx is giving you discomfort, use a cushion that has the coccyx area cut out. Wherever you're feeling the pressure, wherever you're feeling discomfort, make adjustments to that chair. You may not need it, but as you said, every pregnancy is different. And the chair that might have been absolutely fine beforehand, and again, even the top level ergonomic chairs might not just be enough for you when you're pregnant, and that's okay. But that's why we do the risk assessment, which is to identify this early on. Make sure you're seated at the right height for the DSC workstation. Judge your seated height off your elbows. Elbows level with your work surface, or even slightly over, depending on the keyboard and mouse that you're using. Your screens, all of them, should be at eye level, including that laptop that you use as a third screen to keep your calendar on. All screens up at eye level. And your feet on a solid base. So be at the floor, be at the footrest. If your feet do not reach the floor when your elbow is level with your table, you need a footrest. Don't drop the chair to get the feet on the floor. Get a foot rest. Or if you're working from home, get something underneath your feet. Might be a foam roller. I personally find a foam roller great under my feet when I'm working from home. And it can be good in pregnancy to get that little bit of mobility and fluid flowing in the lower limbs. But you need something solid under your feet. I always recommend a foot rest in pregnancy, to be honest. We'll talk about that in a second. The reason we need this support, the reason we need to be at the right height, and the reason we need our screens to be in a good position, is to reduce excessive strain on the joints and tissues. You also want to increase the support at the DSE workstation. So I touched on this. As a pregnancy progresses, so the stress and the strain on the lower back is going to increase just because, like I said, the lumbar curve is going to deepen. You're going to have an increased level of the hormone relaxin. in your body, which is going to make joints and the tissues a little bit more lax and stretchy and loosen a little bit. It's so important the lower back is supported. So regardless of what you're sitting in, whether it's a top level 5-star ergonomic chair or it is your kitchen chair, hopefully not, but if it is, or if you're on the road a lot, it's your car, your lumbar area needs to be supported. So add additional support, foam preferably, if you have to. Footrest, I always recommend it in pregnancy, regardless of someone's stature or the height of their desk or whether it's a sit-stand desk. As your body changes and the bump changes, you might need to tweak your height a little bit to try and get comfortable when you're typing. Having a footrest means that you can do that and still have your foot on something solid. It's also useful to have it under your desk as somewhere else just to put your feet, to let you kind of elevate your legs a little bit, or to encourage a little bit of mobility in the limbs. And as I mentioned, I find a foam roller great, not really useful in the office, but if you're working from home, it can provide the stability of a footrest, but give you a little kind of increase in mobility. If you're using a sit-stand desk when you're pregnant, I do also recommend using a footrest when you're standing to put one foot, have it kind of close to you, in front of you, and you can move one foot up and down at a time. It stops that kind of locked knee, dropped hip position that I sometimes see in people, not sometimes, very often, see in people when they're at a standing workstation. Because you want your hips to be balanced. You want the weight to be going down through your body evenly, not through one side of your spine versus more than the other. And I find using a footrest standing for a little bit of support under one foot and swapping and changing it can be helpful. Make sure you're using your keyboard and mouse correctly. And you might be going, what is she talking about? I know how to use my mouse and use my keyboard. And the reality is most people don't. But for a lot of people, it never causes them a problem. But it can when you're pregnant because of all the other things we talked about, the reduced circulation, the higher level of fluid in the body, the hormone relaxing. It means that you may never have had a bother with how you use the keyboard and mouse, even if you're using them incorrectly. But all of a sudden now you could have a problem. So when it comes to the mouse, hold it loosely in your palm, not your fingers. So you're supposed to hold your mouse in your palm, palm or grip, we call it. Hold it in your palm loosely. Don't grip the mouse tightly. Relaxed hand. Do not rest your wrist on the hand surface. Don't use a mouse pad with the wrist rest on it. Simply because this can reduce the blood flow into your wrists and it can compress the tendons and nerves. The base of your hand, the palm, the base of your palm can sit on the table absolutely fine. And if you want to use a rest, that's the part of your hand that should be on it. The base of the hand, not the wrist. Use your whole arm to move the mouse. Try to keep the wrist straight. Try and avoid that side to side jiggle of the mouse. If you've got an adjustable armrest, adjust it so that it sits just under your elbow. It kind of provides a bit of a pivot point for the elbow, helps to keep the forearm horizontal and support the appropriate movement of the mouse. Now, this will help reduce compression, tension in the forearm, the wrist, the hand, and maintain blood flow. Sometimes it can be useful to use a vertical mouse, and I have made that recommendation often in pregnancy, that sometimes using a vertical mouse just helps with the blood flow and reduce the repetitive movements that we see with mouse use. And this can help with carpal tunnel syndrome in pregnancy. When you're typing, again, you're trying to avoid resting the wrist on the work surface. So you're trying to float your hand. Now, this is easier said than done. Most touch typists and kind of, you know, moderate to good level typists will float, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people rest their arms down on the table and extend the hands backwards when they type. We don't really want to do that. We want to try and float the wrists. Move your hand across the keyboard as opposed to jiggling the hands, deviating them side to side. This might be difficult based on your own typing technique. So if you struggle to do this, bring in a keyboard rest, push it tight to the end of your keyboard and rest your palms on it. Gets rid of the contact stress. The wrists are not sitting on the desk surface and it can help to sometimes move the hands across the keyboard, slide them across the rest. Another option, if your wrists are giving you trouble during pregnancy, another option is activating speech to text. It's there in Windows. Turn it on, get it activated, and you can reduce the amount of typing overall that you have to do when you're doing your kind of basic emails, Word documents, this kind of thing. take regular breaks and pauses. And I have done 2 blog posts that focus specifically on keyboard and mouse use and technique. Have a look at those, listen to those episodes as well. They'll give you more information. And lastly, maintain open communication with management. And if you are the management, you need to maintain open communication with your employee. They need to be aware of your current abilities and workload. Are you managing it? Is fatigue an issue? Are you struggling with getting your tasks done? If you are, let them know. Don't stress yourself. Don't wear yourself out. That is not healthy. Pace your work. Set manageable deadlines and expectations. And don't be afraid to ask for help or delegate if you need to. But you have to keep the channels open, vice versa. And if you start to experience discomfort while you're working, tell manager straight away. Don't wait until it gets so bad that all of a sudden you're taking sick leave from work. Most of the time, there'll be things that can be done to minimize it. And then it does not. Well, then there's other things you could do. Or other things your manager could bring in. Looking after yourself and your musculoskeletal health while you're pregnant is so important because, and this is the bit a lot of people forget, the pregnancy is just the start. When the baby arrives, you're going to be sitting, walking, rocking, bouncing, lying, carrying in all different positions and all different postures and shapes. And you need to be healthy and well to help you move freely and pain-free and enjoy when your baby comes, because that is the start of a whole other section, a whole other set of risks. But you don't want to be going into that uncomfortable and stiff and sore. There will of course be some discomfort, obviously, after you just had a baby, but as you heal, you want to be able to do everything that you need to do relatively pain-free. And looking after yourself during the pregnancy, while you're at work and while you're at home, can be a great start to that. For the complete guide, whether you're an employee or an employer, have a look at the Safety, Health and Welfare at Work General Application Regulations 2007. It's available on the HSA website, www.hsa.ie. Absolutely great place to start if you are in the workplace and you've just found out you're pregnant, or if you have an employee who's just come to you and told you that they're pregnant and you're not quite sure where to start. But just remember, first port of call is do your risk assessment, regardless of what job they're in. That's all in this topic. As always, I'll put my social media handles in the episode description. There is the link to the blog post on this episode will be there as well. Feel free to reach out to me on this topic or any topics that you want me to cover. I'm always happy to take suggestions. And until then, everybody, stay well.